Good morning, brothers and sisters. Am I on? Okay, I'm on. You know, it's as I always tell you, I'm so nervous up here. I would like to sit down and let someone else come and talk. But Brother Stu, I don't know where. Oh, he's over there. He encouraged me a lot this morning that, you know, our God is the God of amen. You know, it's if He give us responsibility, He'll give the grace to carry out that responsibility. Thank you, thank the Lord for it. I know many brothers and sisters have been praying for me so that I will not be too much shaken up here. You know, it's, but thank you for brothers and sisters here all to you. It's, I know you have to work double hard to hear me because of the accents or the English or whatever. You know, just pay attention. Now, I'm well prepared. I hope I don't have to read from my everything I write down. It'd be so boring. About 2 months ago when Kenny talked to me and said, "Well, do you have something to share?" I say, "Well, maybe there's something." We are talking about it. It's I have been reading the Gospel of John, especially chapter 13 through 17. I think 6 months ago, I spoke to Roger at Harvey Cedar. And again, he encouraged me, why don't you just bring it up to the brothers? Maybe there's something there. You know, it's I must apologize. I'm procrastinating, and that's my nature. Well, finally, Kenny got to me. I said, well, I guess I have no choice. You know, it's I get a call on Tuesday, and Kenny asks, well, can you speak this Sunday? I said, really? I mean, that's kind of like, on one hand, it's joy because finally I can lay down the burden. On the other hand, I'm so nervous about it. Really, it's so I do pray to the Lord to give me an open words. It's and the Lord pointed me to John chapter 1, verse 51. It's again, it's a story I think we are very familiar with. The Lord is talking to Nathanael. And the Lord's comment is, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. You know, I always wonder, how do we come? I think we all have the desire to want to know the Lord, right? It's we do read the Bibles. I do read the Bibles. It's but sometimes I have to confess, it's the word may not mean much to me, even though there is knowledge there, you know. It's but I think that the key to know the Lord is to have an open heaven. It's in Galatians, Paul said, "He is the pleasure of the Father to reveal the Son in us." Now, it's unless there's an open heavens, there's no way for us to know the Lord. We can study hard. We can go to Bible school. We can go to conferences. We'll come back and say, I know of the law, but I don't know the law. So I suggest that today we bow our heads with this in mind and ask the Lord to give us an open heaven for, I don't know how much time we have, for time together. Lord, we do want to come to you, Lord, to ask you to give us an open heaven. Lord, that's unless the Father reveals the Son in us, Lord, we cannot come to know you. So, Lord, that we do pray for that open heavens. Lord, that I do pray. Lord, it's I'm just a useless vessel. But, Lord, I pray that even with my limitation, Lord, that your word is not limited. Lord, that your word may go forth onto the good soil and bear fruit. So, Lord, we do want to commit this time unto you and look to you for your provisions, and look to you for the Holy Spirit, Lord, that may make all this word alive in each of our hearts. Lord, we do thank you, Lord, and we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. John 13 through 17. You know, it's I don't know whether you ever see drawings of the portraits of Jesus. You know, it's Sometimes we look at that and say, well, that's a white person. And sometimes we look at portrait of Jesus and they might joy black persons. But really, Jesus is a Jew. And just one time I heard a brother said, you know, Jews and Chinese are very similar. It's just from the sense that we are, you know, we have these Eastern cultures. So it's really for, well, I'm not a Jew, I'm a Chinese. It's really for us, for Chinese sort of have an advantage of come to appreciate the things that Jesus said. You know, it's, take for example, it's we are very familiar with the judgment seat. Maybe there's nothing like that in the Western cultures. But surely in the Oriental cultures, you know, the elders gather the family together, it's and the elder are respected, and the elder give awards in this case or recommends, right? So in the same way, it's John 13:2-17, as we all know, it's the last night that the Lord himself was with the disciple on earth. He has much to say, but time is short. So he has to give them encouragement, as the brother mentioned this morning, John chapter 16. You know, he told them that you will have tribulations, but the Lord gave them his peace. So there are encouragements, as well as I can almost say it's like the last chance, the last night, and Jesus wanted to open his heart to his disciple and just really tell him, let them know that what is his deep desire. You know, it's I like John chapter 13:17. As we all know, there's many encouragements. I mean, we have recalled from those couple of chapters often. You know, I especially like it. It's if you look at the verse 13:1, it said that the Lord said, "I love you to the end." Have you ever amazed of that? What it means? You know, it's if I tell you I love to the end, you may say, "Well, I really appreciate it, but there is a problem. You are limited." You know, it's all natural love are limited, and there's a time, and there's a limit on time and limit on intensities. But as far as the Lord is concerned, the Lord is unlimited. He's not constrained. And when he tells his disciples that he loved them to the end, he really is saying that his love is unending. There's no end to his love. That's how much the Lord loved his disciples. You know, it's I must say, when I always sit there and say, well, how wonderful the Lord is. How much he has loved us. In other places, if you look at John 14:2, it's a wonderful thing. If you really sit down and think about it, the Lord said he go to prepare a place for us. You know, that's wonder after wonder. It's the world, the universe is established by his word. He says something, it's done, and he really does not have to do it personally. But in here, he said he go to prepare a place for us. I can imagine how beautiful and how wonderful that's going to be. So our Lord is so wonderful. And within this text, well, in the old manuscript, there's actually no chapter divisions. There are encouragements. There are many encouragements, I must admit that. But also, when I come to John chapter 17, I sometimes call it as the Lord's prayers or the high priest's prayers. I felt that he's telling his disciple what is in his heart. You know, if we only get in the encouragement, that's beautiful, that's wonderful, and really miss what is in the Lord's heart, I think we miss. We get the good. Some brother said, we get the good and miss the best. It's that is what's in my heart today. It's really share on John chapter 17. It's It's one word. Well, actually, it's a couple of words I want to share, but I think the theme is John 17, verse 21. It's a little phrase in the words what our Lord said here. In the beginning of verse 21, it says, our Lord said, that they may all be one. I believe the brother Lenny is there, right? He prayed. I mean, he did quote from John 17 this morning. I really appreciate that. I don't know what you think about this oneness. When the Lord says, they may all be one. I look at myself, I look at all of you. Can you imagine we're all different? You know, I'm Chinese and you're Western brothers and sisters, Indians, it's black, or whatever. We're all different. How can we be one? You know, it's real amazing, but the Lord said they may all be one. I don't think he's just talking about his disciples. He's praying for all the believers. So to get going, I think we should really read the text in John chapter 17. It's not the whole chapter, but really from verse 11 to 24. The focus of today's sharing is what is gospel, what's the Lord's provisions so that his people may be one. That's in my heart. Verse 11. I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. I come to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that you may be one even as we are. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me. And I guard them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that you may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them your words, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sake, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their words, that they may be all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom they have given me, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. I think it's important for us all in this case, to really come to know what is the desire of the Lord. You know, I think there's no surprise to all of us. You know, we have been hearing that for a while already, actually. Brother Stephen has shared that from 1 Corinthians, that we are all called onto the fellowship of the Son. And also on our Friday night gatherings, we have been sharing on the epistle of John. You know, it's fellowship. It's what is fellowship? Fellowship is a sharing of the same life. Think about it. Now, it's, and then think about oneness. Well, I use what's in, I'm not going to define what oneness is, because it's, that's not the burden for today. It's, but think about oneness, and think about the opposite of oneness. The best term I could come up with is division. Okay, it's oneness. When there's no oneness, it's division. It's divided. And then think about fellowship. What is required for fellowship? You know, it's, if I'm not one with you, we can't have fellowship. As simple as that. So fellowship is really, I mean, it's oneness is a prerequisite for fellowship. Obviously, on the other hand, when there's no oneness, when there is divisions, when people are divided, that destroys the fellowship. You know, that's why how important that is. I already mentioned that it's, I think the brother also prayed this morning. I already mentioned that we are, the Bible said we are one. How can that be? You know, it's, but the truth is, it's according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, 28. You mentioned that, for all of you who are baptized into Christ has clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jews nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. What is that? What's that mean? It's, that is the work of the cross. You know, it's, I think we might all agree that it's, when the sin comes into this world, there is division. It's when our Lord himself, when he cried on the cross, it's all finished. It is finished. Everything is pulled together again in Christ Jesus. And there is the base, or there is the only base of oneness. You know, as we gather week in and week out, we gather for the Lord's table, we gather to remember him. You know, there is another aspect. There's another aspect of remember him. In Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17, I think we are all very familiar with it. It said that there is one loaf. There is one body. There's one among God's people. So it's, we may be different. Actually, we are all different. We come from different races. We come from different backgrounds. Each of us has a unique temperament. It's, and the Lord wants us to be unique too. But yet, with the uniqueness of all of us, we can be one in Christ Jesus. You know, it's, I don't know whether you think about it. I think about this kind of thing a lot. Maybe I have too much time in my hands. If I go outside, if I take brothers and sisters and say, well, it's, let me introduce you to someone else, and if this person is not of the law, and if I say, well, this is my brother and sister, you know what may happen? The eyes will open and say, that really can be. Because it looks so different. But yet, the bottom line is, we are. Whether you like or not, we are one. You know, it's not that we have to understand it. We just have to believe in it. It's, and also in the verse I read, chapter 17, you might notice that the Lord prayed for this disciple. It's, if you count how many times he prayed that they may be one, well, it's four times. It's, and that's the verse 11, 21, 22, and 24. Just consider it, how important that is, the oneness of God's people in the heart of the Lord. But as I mentioned before, it's, we are divided. I mean, it's by nature we are divided. I don't know whether it's a surprise to you. It's, you know, it's in the human nature, you know, it's we have struggles. We like something and we don't like something. Sometimes we want to go this way, but we have to end up going some other way. You know, it's when we think about relationship, I mean, how close, I mean, I can think of it, the closest relationship we have on the earth, in this world, is husband and wife. And the Bible says, man and woman shall become one flesh. Well, you can't get closer than that, one flesh. But, and that is in the heart of God, one flesh. But think about what happens after the fall. You know, it's, we know that it's Eve first ate a fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and then he gave the fruit to his husband, Adam. So God come around and say, hey, what happens? You know what Adam said? Well, I can read you what Adam said. Genesis 2:24. Well, actually, Genesis 3:12. The Bible said, the man said, the woman whom you gave to me with me, she gave me from the tree, and I ate. You know, that's an honest answer. And also it was saying, it's not my fault. It's Eve. She gave me the fruits. You know, it's husband and wife, no longer one. That's after sin, after sin entered into the world. Now it's we don't have to go much further. Take Abel and Cain, or Cain and Abel. You know, it's the first murder in the world. You know, it's he spoke of the relationship, the brotherly relationship in the family. How close should it be? They ought to be one. But yet, we had the first murder. You know, the Bible said, whatever the problem they have, the Bible said, it's in Genesis 4:8, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. That's it. Cain killed Abel. Where is the oneness? You know, it's, well, we really have to consider these questions. Since the man fall, there is no oneness as far as mankind is concerned. In the natural man, there is no oneness. Natural man is divided. But thank the Lord that it's, you know, by his great mercy, and by the work on the cross, as I mentioned before, all these are pulled together, the finished work of the cross, and he has his one new man. But the Lord also knows that we are weak. Thank the Lord for that. We are not, none of us are supermen, you know, or we have our problem. We have our little fall sometimes. It's and the Lord made provisions. You know, it's on the night of his betrayal. Think about Peter. I like Peter because I can always pick on Peter. It's Peter denied the Lord 3 times. It's recorded in the Bible. But what's surprising is even before he denied the Lord, the Lord knew that Peter's going to deny him. The Lord did not kick him out. The Lord did not say, Peter, I don't want you anymore. You're going to deny me anyway. The Bible says the Lord prayed for him so that he may not lose his faith. And when he come back, he's going to restore his brothers. You know, that is wonderful. You know, it's despite of all our weakness, you know, all our dividedness, the Lord pray for us. I think that's very precious. And that's what I want to touch on. It's the provisions. It's the prayer, the high priest prayer in chapter 17. How the Lord has provided for us really to face this problem, this coming in from the enemies to draw us away from the oneness of the sin. It's, and I identify 3 points. There might be more, but I just say I'm limited. That's All I can, that's all I know. provisions. Let's look at John 17 again. So, keep your finger on John 17. It's John 17, verse 11. I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name. Again, it's when you think about it, keep them, keep God's people, keep the believers in the Father's name. What do you think? What is a name? You know, it's very important in the Oriental cultures, in the Eastern culture. You know, a name represents a family. You know, it's we may say if a family member really do bad things, we say, you embarrass the family. You embarrass the name of the family. You know, it's the name represents the family. I can give you an illustration. Well, I think it's a very simple one. It's if I have to give Jerry $100, but I don't have $100 in my pockets. You know, it's that's really two choices. I can go to the bank, get $100, and say, Jerry, here's $100, all right? That's simple. Or I can write Jerry a check, sign my name, and say, Jerry, just take it to the bank. They'll give you $100. So it's if Jerry takes that check to the bank, I don't have to be there. And they will, the bank is going to honor the check and give Jerry the cash. Now if I write a check but forget to sign my name, when Jerry goes to the bank, of course, he's not going to get his $100. You know, it's just a very simple illustration. The name of the Father, what he represents. You know, it represents his power. It represents his honor. It represents his glory. It represents his resources. I always like that. And then you think about it. Is there any other name higher than the Father's name? None, right? There's none that's higher than the Father's name. Is there any power in this world that is higher than the Father's power? There is none. So when the Lord said, keep them in thy name, keep them in the Father's name, that is a provision to us. That's by that keeping hands, we are protected. If we stay there, we are protected. And in the end, at the end, that God's people may be one. Secondly, it's, again, in John chapter 17, verse 17 in this case. Verse 17 and verse 21. Verse 17 is that, sanctify them in the truth, your word is truth. And then verse 21, that they may all be one. You know, this matter of sanctification, I know it's a buzzword. What do you mean by sanctify or sanctification, you know, right? It's simply what it means is setting apart. Set apart, well, in this context, it spoke a lot of the world. And he mentioned that his people is in the world, but it's not of the world. So here's the Lord mentioned sanctify. Sanctify in God's word. Setting apart in God's word. Setting apart from what? Well, we all guess. Setting apart from the world in God's word. Now, that would enable the people of God to be one. Thirdly, it's when we come to verse 22, the glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. Now, that's really a little bit difficult to explain what that means. You know, it's because we all have different concepts of glory. What is glory, right? Is it something external? Is it sound, say sometimes I say it? Is it loud noises? Is it firework? Is it thunders? Is it winds? Of course, it's none of that. It's something internal, actually. It's not something that's external. There are two examples in the Bible. It's when we go back to Old Testaments, when Moses finished the tents of meetings, when Moses finished the tabernacle, all according to the pattern given on the mount, he consecrated the tents to God. And what happened? The Bible said, I can find you the words for it. In Exodus chapter 40, verse 33 and 34, the Bible says, the glory of God filled the temple. Okay. There's another example. It's if we move forward a little bit to King Solomon's time. Again, it's David prepared all the material to build the temple. It's his son, King Solomon, who finished the temple, right? After he finished the temple, he consecrated the temple to God. What happens? God's glory come and fill the temple. You know, it's you may ask, well, do you need a, what's it really mean? Right? It's, do you really need a tent? Do you really need a temple? Well, it's the Old Testament is types, as we call it, foreshadowing. Both the tents and the temple is really foreshadowing the Lord himself. Okay. And then you ask the questions. Why God's glory fill the temple and fill the tents? It's one brother suggests, well, it's really simple. It's because God is satisfied. And he mentioned that when God is satisfied, there is glory. And there is true glory. You know, it's so if you go back to John 17, the verse we read, verse 22, it mentioned the glory that's given by the Father to the Son. You know, and then follow on, it's there is this inner relationship between the Son and the Father in the next two verses. It's, I can say, maybe I'm wrong, but if I want to say anyway, it's the Father is always satisfied in the Son. And then the Father put us in the Son. So he is satisfied as long as we are in the Son. That's where the glory comes from. It's, he has given us that position to be in Christ Jesus, that the Father's heart can be satisfied. And in there is the provisions of oneness in the sin. Now it's, we always ask this kind of question that it's, well, you know, positional-wise, we are one man, one new man in Christ Jesus. The Lord has made provisions. Well, how come I didn't see the oneness? Well, at least me, I won't say everyone else. It's, there seems to be a lacking of oneness among God's people. You know, it's if we are honest about it, that's a true condition. You know, it's, but there are cases as we go back to church histories. There are cases where God's people are one. You know, it's there's no doubt about it. If you look at Acts, look at the early church histories, even in on the Bible, Acts chapter 2, you know, when it described the early gatherings, the word the Bible used is, I'll give you the words here. Acts chapter 2, verse 46. It said, and day by day, continuing steadfastly with one accord in the temple and breaking bread at home, they took their food with gladness and singleness of heart. You know, it's this oneness in the believer among the saints. It happened at that time. I mean, I have no question about it. There is oneness among God's people. There is this reality at that time. There was this reality at that time. But you know, it's, as we all know, whatever the Lord desire, the enemy will come in. It's to deny the law to have his desire fulfilled. It's even in early churches, there are many instances that the enemy try to come in, try to destroy, try to bring in the divisions. But if you look at what happened in the early time, you know, it's I just quickly write it down, is that the brethren at that time bore no other name than the name of Jesus. You know, remember the provision number one? The Son asked the Father to keep them in his name. So they gather. They really stand steadfastly under the name of God. They were set apart for the law. I mean, that's sanctified by his word, in his words. And they had no other glory than the glory of Jesus. You know, it's and that is the reason, I feel that's the reason why they are able to demonstrate that oneness of the sin in the early time. You know, it's, I must say, it's enemy try to come in. It's very true. It doesn't take much time. You know, even when we turn to Acts chapter 5, one family, husband and wife, they sold some lands and they bring portion of money, you know, to the apostles, thinking that they might be able to cheat. I don't know. It's, but of course, Peter is full of the Spirit. He knew that. You know, it's, can you imagine what might happen if that's not prevented? It's in the early time. Everything are shared in commons. And then you have, if that's not prevented, you have this family come in and hold back something for themselves. You know, hold back this, well, I call it selfness. You would bring in divisions. But that was taken care of. And then if we move on further in time, and look at Acts 15, I think that's, you know, it's at that time there are many Gentiles. Well, I'm Gentiles. There are many believers who are not Jews, right? So there are people from Jerusalem who come down and say, well, you know, it's all right. We know they're believers, but I think they should be circumcised. You know, it's imposing something on the Gentile in this case, bringing in something that granted is ordained by God in the Old Testament. Remember, Old Testament is types. When the real thing comes, you don't do the types. It might be a good thing, but it's not the right thing. Can you imagine what might happen if the Gentile believers are required to be circumcised? I would say that it's, you drive them away. It's not their customs. You know, but because of the work of the Holy Spirit, and that's really fans off again. You know, the church at Jerusalem just say, write to them, encourage them. So they take care of that. But do you think the enemy will give up after two tries or a couple of tries? No, they don't. If we continue on, even within chapter 15, I think it's, you may argue with me what happened there. It's this incident between Paul and Barnabas. You know, it's at that time, Paul, I would say, is mature brothers. So is Barnabas. It's Barnabas who brings Paul to the brethren. So and they were talking about going back to visit the brethren that they have visited before. And the situation come up. It's should they bring Mark? You know, it's where it seems to be trivial questions, right? As far as Paul is concerned, Mark should not come along. Because Mark deserted them before. Okay, as far as Barnabas is concerned, well, you know, Barnabas and Mark, they're actually very relative. Barnabas want to bring Mark along. It's what happens. You know, you have two crash of opinions, I would say. It's the Bible said. I don't know. I mean, I have an idea which one is of the Spirit, but we are not going to talk about that. But the Bible said, Acts 15, verse 39, and there occurs such a sharp disagreement that they separate from one another. Can you imagine that? Two spiritual, mature brothers, because of Mark, they decisions, fly over it and pack away. You know, it's a horrible situation. I mean, we might joke about it, but truly it's horrible that there's something coming in. You know, it's whether you say it's division or not, at least between Paul and Barnabas is a division. You know, it's... I don't recall, but I may be mistaken at this point that Paul and Barnabas never get together, at least recording the Bible. Now further along, you know, it's if you take the Church of Corinth, Brother Stephen has been shared these days. 1 Corinthians, they have the knowledge. That's what the Bible said. They know, but then among them they say. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. Some say, I am of Paul. Some say, I am of Apollos. Some said, I'm of Peter. And some even say, I'm of Christ. Oh, that's great. I'm of Christ, you're not. You know, it's it will come down to, they're looking at, you know, all these, today we call them giants, right? All these apostles and say, well, you know, maybe Paul is better than others. Maybe Paul is better than Christ, even though they may not say it. You know, that's moving away from the provision that the Lord has provided. The Lord said, keep them in thy name. The Lord asked God to keep them in thy name. Now, if the assembly, if they move away from that, enemy comes in, you know, it's and then you have strife. Further along, I don't know if it's all this bad news kind of thing, but I just want to illustrate a point. It's when we get to Philippians, in this case, Philippians chapter 4, it's Paul mentioned two sisters. I can't pronounce the name, I'm sorry. Two sisters who labor in the work of the Gospels. They love the Lord. They offer their life to the Lord and they labor. But yet, they have disagreements. You know, and Paul writes to them, said, help them to have the mind of Jesus. You know, what is the mind of Jesus? If you go back to chapter 2 in Philippians, the mind of Jesus is lowliness. The mind of Jesus is obedience to the Father. You know, there is connection. If you look at chapter 2, there's a connection between glory and the cross. You know, it's the Lord himself willing to lay down his life so that God highly exalted him. Give the Lord the name that's above any names. So we have this case that the two sisters, even though their hearts on fire to serve the Lord, but yet they're not willing to take the way of the cross. And that is a hindrance, and that will allow the division to come in. Well, it's these all sad stories. I mean, will we ever see oneness in God's people? I must apologize to King. It's when I gave him the hymn, I don't know, I thought it's word that we sing all the time. it's, you know, that hymn, that song, the hymn is composed by a brother whose name is Nicholas Sinsendorf. You know, it's, I don't know whether you heard of his name. He's connected with the Moravian movements. It's, at least we should be aware of that he loved the law. It's, at that time, the Christians are persecuted. He opened his home. He's a rich person. He opened his home to for the Christians who were persecuted to come to live at his place. But of course, it's everyone bring their own burdens, disagreements in this case. And they can't break bread together. So it's at some point, Sinsendorf said, "Well, if you can't live together, if you can't break bread together, you have to go." You know, it's we come down to that. It's the oneness on God's people, and they begin to change their heart, and they begin to come together and break bread. It's and the end result is, at least I heard, 100 years, unceasing prayers. 100 years, 24/7. That's, I don't know, it's that's amazing. And they send out missionaries. I mean, we talk about missionaries. It's never suppressed by any other, I hate to call it organizations, but God does a great work, even through one person. So, is it hopeless? I sure hope not. You know, it's I found our sisters. I'm not quite sure where she's over there. She gave us a drawing, I think. You know, it's, and we hang it on the wall, on the hallway. Every time I walk past it, I saw, oh yeah. And what it said is, God is able. You know, it's God is able. Even though we may see that to us, many things seem to be so impossible, but God is able. And I was reminded this morning, as I prepare for what to say, yeah, reminded this morning that it's 2 Timothy, verse 2:13, and it says, "If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." You know, that's it. It's, we may see bad situation, but we may see things that's really not in our control. But God is faithful. God is continuing to work on to go after what his desire is. Now it's, thank God that we are, none of us are supermen. It's, he knew our weakness, you know, it's, and he made provision for it. As I mentioned before, that it's these three provisions, I think that's very precious, to be kept in the Father's name. It's, you know, when we hit by the enemy's fire, you know what that means, to be kept in the name of the Father. The second provision is sanctify in his word. I think that's very important. You know, it's set apart for the Lord himself, set apart from the world. And that's the key to experience the oneness among his people. You know, it's, if we allow the world to come in, if we don't set apart ourselves, oh, that's all kind of troubles. I mean, it's, people will bring in the world's ways, organizations and everything like that, and there will be strife and there'll be divisions. And also we should focus. I put it down as glorifying with the Father's given glory. Focus on the Lord. It's, we are in him and he's in us. And he's the Lord himself who can only satisfy the Father's heart. It's, as I was preparing today, it's One verse, one little verse has come up. I think it's precious because I don't remember long verses. You know, it's I always say it's a sign of getting old. I find it very encouraging. You know, it's when Paul, when he was in prisons, it's when he wrote the second letter to Timothy. We know what happens. You know, it's Paul was in prison. He was alone. Well, I shouldn't say he was alone. Luke was with him. And that's it. You know, it's and he wrote to Timothy. It's again. You may say I take this out of context, but that's all right. It's three little words. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ. You know, every Sunday, every Lord's Day, we are called to remember Jesus Christ. I think we should. Remember his love on us. Remember his mercy. Remember his grace. And also, don't forget, remember his heart desire. You know, sometimes we might be so concentrate on ourselves, our needs, and forget what the Lord's desire is. And his desire, what is his desire? You know, it's his desire is to have all the saints to be one, that they all be one. I didn't see a pack show there. I didn't see just you, but all. Now, I think we should be sorrowful if our desire is not aligned up with God's desire. You know, it's I think about it quite a bit. It's again, it might be just a sign of getting old. If we spend our lifetime here just pursuing what we need, okay? What's that means when we come to see the Lord? It's if all we do is try to meet our own desire, even though it might be good things, and really ignore what the Lord wants, ignore what the Lord's heart is, I think we should be very sorrowful in that. Because the Lord loved us so much, and he laid down his life for us. And also, it's which I didn't mention before, it's I think in the last couple of months we share on testimonies. Ken is not here. But we share on testimony. It's especially, I think the brother Lenny mentioned this morning, that they may be one. It's a testimony. You know, in John chapter 13, love each other as I have loved you, so that the world may know. May know what? So that the world may know the Father sent the Son. So that the world may know the Father indeed sent his Son. It's a testimony. It's a matter of testimonies. You know, it's... Let me just continue a little bit. The other thing, I think the other thing that would keep us focused on the Lord's desire is to see the beauty of the oneness of the saints. I think the sister mentioned this morning is the beauty of the saints, the beauties of the oneness of the saints. I'm not sure I think about it sometimes, you know, it's what it means. I can't explain to you what it means, because but I do have a words from the Bible. Psalm 133:1-3, it said, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, coming down upon the bear, even Aaron's head, coming down upon the edge of his robes. It's like the dew of Hermon, coming down upon the mountain of Sinai. For there the Lord commands the blessing, life forever." You know, that is the beauty. There is great beauty when there is oneness among us people. I think our hearts should be really tuned in and desire for that. I almost get down to the last few points. I felt that it's You know, it's in practical sense, why division come in? You know, it's sometimes, at least personally, I felt that it's we are not aware of the work of the enemies. It's a lot of time, you know, it's minor disagreements, and you never know. It just blow up our proportions. And we just feel that, wow, it's really only crash or personalities, different opinions, and so on. But when you look behind that, behind the scenes, we always have to remember that, as Paul mentioned in Philippians chapter 6, verse 12, our struggle is never with people. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the power, against the world forces of darkness, against the spiritual force of wickedness in the heavenly places. You know, it's why divisions? Why there's lack of oneness? Because the enemy come in. And we may not realize the enemy come in. And we just take things more or less as something that's just personal, just between you and me. So it's pray to the Lord to open our eyes, to be sensitive to that, to really have the discernment to recognize it's something deeper, something darker behind the scene. Last 2 points. It's the Lord has given the provisions. You know, there's no use for us unless we stand on it. You know, it's as simple as that. Let me just mention that's really a principle. You know, how God operates, or how Satan operates in this case. You know, it's a very simple idea. It's if we give the ground to God, He will operate. He operates according to His ground. Now, if we stay away, He can't do anything for you. In the same way, when we give the enemy the ground, he will do his damage. When we take away the ground, then the enemy is powerless. You know, it's so the Lord has made provisions. Let me come back to that point. It's for us to stand. Ephesians said, chapter 6, verse 13, 14, is that it's really for the people. Well, he said, and having done everything, to stand firm. And firm, therefore, stand. You know, it's we do have to stand in the provision of God against all the work that the enemy is going to do. Lastly, I sort of struggle with these words a little bit. I'm not quite sure whether I want to say it. We all well versed in Revelations. It's Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. It's the text that, therefore remember from where you have fallen and repent, and do the deeds you did at first, or else I'm coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. That's all that struck me this morning. You know, it's... Do you think God is so harsh? Is God really going to remove? Well, it's lampstand. It's an Eastern thing. I don't know what's a lampstand here. It's the purpose of lampstand is hold up the lamp, right? I think that's very clear. And indeed, we are the world we live in. Well, it's believe it or not, it's under the dominions of the power of darkness. That is the world. There's no question about it. The church is supposed to be, its purpose is the lampstand, according to Revelation chapter 1. The lampstand function is to lift up the light, right? The light of Jesus in a dark world. Now, the word here says, God said, well, if you don't repent, I will come and remove the lampstand. You know, it's over church, over over the last 2,000 years, God has no interest of keeping something that just for going on when it doesn't serve his purpose. So it is a warning. But on the other hand, it's good news too. God say, God does provide a way out, and he said repent. You know, it's repent is, I don't know whether it's a serious word, it really means turn back. Don't go that way. Go the other way. And besides that, it's repent and go back. Remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first. You know, when we think back to the early churches, what do? They have no name, no other names than the name of Jesus. They have no other law but the law of Jesus. They separate themselves from the world and consecrate themselves to the law. They desire nothing but the law himself. You know, I don't know where we are, but I know where I am. You know, it's repentance. It's a serious thing, but on the other hand, it's you know, I pray to the Lord that if there's something between me and the brothers and sisters, I want to repent. I don't want that division, because that's going to hurt the Lord's heart. I come to my last point. Let's bow our head and pray. Dear Lord, we do want to give thanks to you, Lord, even in these hours, Lord, in these late hours, Lord, that you still demonstrate your love to us and your mercy and your grace. Lord, I must say that I am an unprofitable vessel. But Lord, we pray that, Lord, that's truly nothing that can hinder your words. Lord, may your word go forth, Lord, to touch each one of us. Lord, we pray that, Lord, is grant us, draw us by your love. Lord, that our desire is aligned up with your desire. Lord, the prayer from our heart is, Lord, for your bride to be prepared. Lord, wrinkleless, spotless, to be like you. Lord, for you to come. It's your heart, Lord, that you want to come back. Lord, I just want to commit all ourselves unto you. Lord, claiming that we are all weak. We are all in the flesh. But Lord, enable us, indeed stand on your words. Enable us not move away from your provisions. Lord, enable us to see indeed how present that is for the brethren to dwell in unities. Lord, we ask you, give us open heavens. Continue to give us open heavens, Lord, that we may see. We may truly see what is the deep desire of your heart. Lord, seeing that we may be drawn to you, Lord, to stand together. Lord, to see that, Lord, that there is really nothing that divides us from each other. Lord, we ask you to grant us your great mercy in this time. Lord, we thank you and we pray in the name of Jesus Christ.